We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. Thank you to Phil and his wife, Ropa, for taking time to lead us in worship. We've got a very, very small team here that is making things happen. And we also want to thank you for the different ones connected in different homes, in different continents. We just want to thank you for connecting, for being part of the family. We got a word for us today. I want to continue building from what we've been building on this series of the altar of priesthood. The altar of priesthood. If we could just look at, turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'll read a few verses from Genesis chapter 14. It's the story of Abraham. He had guests from heaven. These were divine guests that came to their home with Sarah. And Abraham then discovers that these are not ordinary visitors. These are divine beings coming from heaven. And so we pick up the story from when the Lord was thinking about visiting Sodom. And so he shares a part of his heart to Abraham, his friend. And so Genesis 18, and I'm reading from verse 24. In fact, let's start from 22. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it?" Verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Verse 26, "The Lord said, 'If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake.' Then Abraham spoke up again, 'Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5, less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there,' he said, 'I will not destroy it.'" Verse 29, "Once again he spoke to him, 'What if only 40 are found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 40, I will not do it.'" Verse 30, "Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?' He answered, 'I will not do it if I find 30, if I find 30 there.' Abraham said, 'Now that I have found, I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it.'" Verse 32, "Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?' And he answered, 'For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it.'" When the Lord had finished speaking with Abram, he left and Abraham returned home. In today's text, we meet Abraham again, but this time he's portrayed as an excellent example of what it means to stand in the gap. Today I want to talk about the altar of priesthood. The altar of priesthood. Although Abraham was filled with humility and respect in his approach as he negotiated with God, as it were, I find his prayer very audacious. He keeps revising it and modifying it from his initial request of 50 people. I hope we're reaching you from wherever you are. I hope you're able to log in on Facebook or on Zoom. Please do wave at us so that we know that you're with us as we journey through this message today. So Abraham says to God, "If there are 50 people, would you spare the city?" And God says, "Yes, I will." And he keeps going down from 50 to 45. From 45, he goes to 40. And he says, what about 30? He goes on to 20. And then he decides to stop at 10. Now, I don't know how you look at that story, but when you take a closer look at it, you discover that it is God who took the initiative to reveal his purpose to Abraham. God says, how can I hide this from Abraham, who's my friend? And then he shares his heart with Abraham. And Abraham begins to intercede for the city of Sodom. And remember, Sodom, that's where his nephew lived, Lot. Lot and his family lived in that city. But it will look as though God was actually encouraging Abraham in this venture of praying for the city, which was hanging on the brink of judgment. Now, here's a lesson for us from this text. Knowing God's purpose through a personal relationship with him should move us to pray and stand in the gap for various situations that we face in our world. It is not everybody who can stand in the gap. I wish it were so, but that's not the direction we get from Scripture. Listen to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is God saying, there are a specific people that can actually stand in the gap, and these are his people that are called by his name. And they've got to do certain things like humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn away from their wicked ways. The Lord then says, I will respond. I will hear them and forgive them, and I will heal their land. This is the role and the gap that we see Abraham taking up in this case involving Sodom. He takes that place of intercession. He lifts up the ministry of priesthood, as it were, even at that time, when that ministry was not as defined as it was during the time of Moses. So I want to just take a quick look at the priesthood in the Old Testament. At the very beginning, it will look as though every man was his own priest and he had to present his own sacrifices to God. But later on, the office devolved, where we find the head of a family being the priest of his household. For example, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see them leading as priests in their own families. And then in Mount Sinai, when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, only men from a particular tribe, the tribe of Levi, and from a specific family, the family of Aaron, could serve as priests. And their function was that of a mediator between God and the nation of Israel. They represented the people of God to God by offering sacrifices and incense at the temple. They also would seek the guidance from God for the nation of Israel, and as well as for individuals like kings or some important people, as it were, or even ordinary people. Their job was to simply seek God on their behalf in terms of guidance. They were also responsible for teaching and instructing the people of God on the laws that God gave them. They were leading in worship. They served as reminders that God does forgive sinners. Even in the Old Testament, we see them in that place where they were a living reminder to the nation of Israel that God does forgive sinners. Even today, as you are listening to this message, our God is able to forgive and save you. He's still in that business today. We see also that the priests were a channel through which God could communicate his will to the people. Whenever God had something to say, you would come through the priests, and the priests would then communicate to the people of God. God would also use kings or prophets in those days. There is also the office of the high priest. I'm not going to talk about it today. We will come back to this one on Friday, on Good Friday, when we talk about the altar of sacrifice. So if you could just hang on there this Friday, if you log into our Facebook or our Zoom, you'll be able to join us for the Good Friday service. But today I want to just zoom in on the priesthood. as exemplified by Abraham. I want us to move on to the New Testament. Now that we have an idea of the Old Testament and the background of the story of Abraham, in the New Testament, things were a little bit different from what it was in the Old Testament, which serves as a shadow of the New Testament. Remember that in the Old Testament, only the priests of Israel were qualified to bring a sacrifice. Only them could approach God on behalf of other people. But from the New Testament period onwards, every born-again believer is regarded as a priest in the sight of God. Today, each believer or each Christian is a priest with direct access to God. In the Old Testament, you could not get access to God if you did not come from the line or from the tribe of the Levites and you're not part of the family of Aaron. There was no way you could approach the presence of God. But in the New Testament, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, giving his own life and through his blood, we now have access to the throne of grace. We praise God for that. Listen to what 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He goes on to say, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Now, there are two things I want to pull out from this scripture and share with us today. The first thing is that it has to do with the image of Christ. The image of Christ, we're talking about royalty, we're talking about kingship. And the second thing from this text is that it has to do with the functioning like Christ. The functioning like Christ. This is where we talk about the priesthood. Now, looking at the image aspect of Christ, the priest has got two dimensions to his role. The first dimension has to do with his image. The image of the priesthood is very important in his role because image talks about identity as a believer. Your identity as a believer. The Bible says we were created in the image of God. This is extremely important to understand because Abraham was fully aware of his position, as it were, when he approached God, interceding and proposing to God that, God, would you spare the city for 50 people? And going further all the way down to 10 people. The reason he was able to do that is because he understood the privilege of talking with the Lord as his friend. Abraham had already established a covenant with God. He therefore could approach God because he was God's friend. He knew God and God knew him. So because the Lord called him his friend, God was able to share his secrets with him. Psalm 24 verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 15 verse 15, he says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slaves do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So we see this principle in everyday life. If a person shares their intimate details with you, intimate details about their lives, if they share those things with you, it means that you are their intimate friend. How do you know that you're close to somebody? Do they share intimate things about their lives with you? If they do, then you have a good friend. If they don't, it's a bit strange that a person who's not your friend would just open up and start sharing deep things about their lives. You see, because we share the secrets of our lives only with friends who have earned our trust. I don't know if Jesus is your friend this morning. Perhaps you could think about making Jesus your very close friend. And then you then have a part of the secrets that God can share with you. So God says to Abraham, can I hide what I'm about to do in Sodom? Abraham is my friend. And so he shares with him the secrets that he had in his heart that day, the mysteries that he had about what he was planning to do in Sodom. And as God shared with Abraham, Abraham began to pray or intercede for that city because he did not want to abuse the friendship, as it were. But he responded in a very powerful way, as though he was a priest for his people or for his family, as it were. So if you want to know God's purpose so that you can pray accordingly, you've got to understand your identity in Christ and approach his throne of grace, knowing that you are a child of God, knowing that you are a believer of God, knowing that God has given you a place in his kingdom and there's a role for you to play. So if you want to know God more intimately, I encourage you to take time to grow as God's friend. Go draw closer to God. This is what will enhance your participation in the ministry of priesthood. It's an office. It's not just a title. It's an office in its own right. So that's the first thing I wanted to say about that scripture there, that it talks about the image of Christ, that your image as a believer is connected to your identity as a child of God. From that identity, we flow to the second bit of that text, which talks about functioning like Christ. Functioning like Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, Peter says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Priesthood is always tied to sacrifices. This applies both to those that are priests in the house of God and those that are priests to other altars that we don't want to talk about today. But priesthood is something to do with sacrifices. And in the New Testament, the primary channel of offering sacrifices for a believer is prayer. We no longer bring live animals to church to kill them as sacrifices to God, as they did in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the revelation we have is that we offer sacrifices through praises to God, giving praises to God, and also through prayer. It is more than a call from your church leaders. Prayer is like a major dimension of carrying out your function as a priest. When we talk about priests in the New Testament, we're not talking about pastors, we're not talking about bishops, we're not talking about church leaders or elders. We are talking about a born-again believer. You might be listening today. We might be watching us today. If you're a believer, I would like to say to you that you are a priest in the house of God. You have a ministry of priesthood that you are already engaged in. And I want to encourage us to open our eyes to this ministry of priesthood that is so, so important for believers, especially at a time when God is looking for people who can pray, people who can intercede for nations, for cities, for our communities that are being swept away by this pandemic. The answer to the pandemic will come through the medium of prayer. Jesus was strong on prayer. The Bible is very clear on prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, for example, says, pray without ceasing. In James 5, verse 17, James gives us an example of Elijah, a man who was just like us. And yet, Elijah exercised his priesthood ministry by praying for rain not to fall for 3 years and for rain to fall after 3 years. This was the exercise of the ministry of prayer by a man who's just like us. but he understood the power he had through the ministry of prayer. So when we talk about priesthood, I want to remind us that we are also talking about dominion. Dominion. One of the key functions of a priest or a believer in the scriptures is that of dominion on earth. Right from Genesis chapter 1, we are told that we were given God's image, but also we were given the responsibility of dominating on earth, having dominion on earth. So God gave us authority over principalities and powers. He gave us authority to exercise that power over those principalities and powers. But that just doesn't happen. We've got to be in a place of prayer so that we can have dominion over the affairs of this life as believers. Because it is in a place of prayer that we tap into the possibilities of the spirit that may not exist in the spirit in the physical realm, but we have access to the throne of God. And when through that access, we have power to flow with God and change the affairs in our own lives, in our own families, in our own circumstances. Those circumstances have to bow to the power of God that is exercised through prayer. And so this is what we call the ministry of a priest. The ministry of a priest comes with power. The Bible talks about the excellency that comes in through this ministry. This is Peter who told us, who says in 2 Peter, I believe, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says that, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous lights. So these excellencies are powerful and they're very deep. Because when we are connected to God, we've got power to bind and loose. We've got power to pray for things to change in our world, things to be transformed in our own situations that seem impossible to change. I want to also say something about the ministry of a priest. It has to do with prayer, and prayer is the highest level of humility. Why do I say so? Because prayerlessness, if you look at it, is a form of pride. If a believer is not praying, he's making a statement to God. And the statement that he's making is that I can live my life without depending on God. I'm sufficient outside of God. But when we go to God in prayer, we are saying to God, God, without you, I can do nothing. If you don't intervene in my situation today, I'm finished. We are expressing humility to God because we are saying we cannot live this life without help from elsewhere. And our help comes from the Lord. Our help is pointed to God. Our help can only work if it's coming from God. And God is our ever-present help, even in times of trouble. Maybe this morning you are in a situation where you're wondering, where will my help come from? Where will my help come from? Well, the Bible is an answer to that. The Bible says, my help comes from the Lord. And I believe that God is able to reach out to you wherever you are, whatever it is that you're facing. God has got power to reach out to you. If only you could open your mouth and begin to pray and ask for his help. It's in the scriptures. God has got many stories in the Word of God where he came through for people that were facing impossible situations. I'm reminded as I speak to you of the woman with the issue of blood. Right in the middle of a crusade, when people were pressing on Jesus, she reached out to him and all she could touch was his garment. And from that simple touch of his garment, power flowed from Jesus into her body and she was healed instantly. You still have an opportunity today to reach out to Jesus. He's able to heal you. If only you could do something. If only you could act on your faith. Because faith without works is dead. I also need to say something about this priesthood ministry. There's something called the anointing of God that comes with this priesthood. Anointings enables you to do that which you cannot do in your own strength. There is divine help that comes for you as far as your strength is concerned. Anointing will shift your influence from one dimension to another. We see Abraham, a simple mortal, being able to speak to God very deep things about standing in the gap for a city. A city. Can you imagine the fate of that city hung on the balance, and there was only one man standing in the gap? His name was Abraham. It's amazing what God can do through you and me when we choose to stand in the gap. God can move mountains when a man or a woman decides to take up his ministry of priesthood and stand in the gap, knowing that my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can think, ask, or even imagine. That is the God we serve. That is the Jesus we talk about. That the anointing of God is able to break every yoke in our lives. And we have got access to that power. We have got access to that anointing through the office of the priest. The New Testament priest. I wish I had more time to talk more about how Jesus has made a way for us. But I'll keep that for Friday when we meet for our Good Friday service at 5 p.m. I want to finish today's service with this story. It's a story that was told of what happened when D.L. Moody, a revivalist from America who lived around 1872, they say that he visited England just to have a rest, a break from ministry. He had no intention to preach in that visit. So while he was in London, a pastor spotted him and ran up to him and asked him to preach in his church service that Sunday. And so Moody agreed to preach that Sunday. And this church had two services, one in the morning and one in the evening. So during the morning service, when he preached, people were just indifferent to the message. It was as though it didn't move anything or anybody. But when he spoke that evening, the response was completely different. After the sermon, Moody asked those who wished to become Christians to stand on their feet, and hundreds stood up. So Moody thought they might have misunderstood him. So he repeated what he just said. But this time he said, if you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to go to a room. There was a room next to the main auditorium. And when he got there, he was shocked that the room was overflowing. They had to get extra chairs to create seats for people to sit on. So he asked all those who were really earnest in prayer, because he was moved by this. He said, listen, if you really want to give your life to Christ, may you come tomorrow and meet your pastor in the same place. Now, the next day was Monday. And on that day, Moody had traveled to Ireland. So as soon as he arrived in Ireland on Monday, he got a message saying, would you please come back? Because something has happened. We want you to see something. So he went back to London, only to find the room overflowing with double the number of people that were there the day before. Now, 400 people gave their lives to Christ during that visit. In fact, he extended his preaching schedule, unscheduled preaching tour, to 10 days of preaching. Revival had broken out. But there was something different about this visit. Moody sensed that something must have happened. There must have been somebody praying. So he started inquiring whether there was someone who has been praying for this visit. And for sure, In the meeting, there was a young lady who had come in the morning, and she, when she got back home, she told her sister, a younger sister, called Marianne. Now, Marianne was a bedridden girl. She lay twisted and distorted by her suffering on her bed. But on that bed, she prayed hour after hour daily for revival. And so when she told her about the experience in the morning service, Marianne started praying that day. And by evening, the atmosphere had changed in that church because of Marianne. You must understand that Marianne had been asking God to send revival to her church for many years. She could not attend church because of her condition of illness, and yet she never stopped praying for revival. She knew about D.L. Moody and his ministry in Chicago, and she specifically asked God to bring this man to her church. And so when he came to her church, she thanked God because she felt God had given her a release that something was going to happen in her church. And so revival broke out because of one sick lady who sought the Lord in prayer. She took her place in the ministry of priesthood and called on the name of the Lord, and that church was shaken. Lives were transformed. People were never the same. You can change situations in your life. I don't understand why God and how God does this, but I believe in his eternal plan, God has decided to include you and me. He has decided to bring us to be a part of his eternal purpose. And our part is the ministry of priesthood. We have a part to see our neighbors saved. We have a part to see our family members delivered. We have a part to see our city healed, our nation changed because of the power of God. So I want to just remind you today as I close that if you are in a place where you don't understand what's happening in your life, if you're in a place where you need someone to give their lives to Christ, I want to encourage you to stand in the gap for them, pray and call on the name of the Lord, because our God answers prayer. Our God will not ignore you when you stand in the gap. Heaven will move because a man or a woman is standing in the gap. This has been the history of the church in the world. This has been the story that God has been telling us from Genesis, that when a man or woman stands in the gap interceding for somebody or for someone, God will answer that prayer. God is faithful. God can change lives today, not tomorrow. God can change your life today, this very moment. And I'd like to pray with you as I finish off. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for those that are hearing my voice from wherever they are. That if there is any today that has not given his or her life to Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you may open their hearts. That you may steer something within their hearts today. That they may realize that they need you in their hearts. They need you in their lives. That their life can change right now, today. That as they invite you into their hearts today and ask you to forgive them of all their sins and ask you to fill them with your Spirit and make them a new creation today. Father, you are able to answer their prayer. And may it be so over their lives. As they surrender their lives today, may they start a new walk with you, a fresh start. Maybe you're here today, you used to walk with God, you're backslidden, and you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to God. I want to have a fresh start with God. I invite you to pray. I invite you to say, Lord, I come back home. Would you start afresh with me today? Forgive me for all that I've done. Cleanse me from all sin. I choose you today. I put away my old ways and I start a new walk with you. Would you take my hand, fill me with your spirit, and start afresh with me? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you from wherever you are. May he cause his face to shine upon you. I think of those that are facing all sorts of challenges today, whether it's this coronavirus they're facing today or any form of sickness. I pray that God will heal you, that God will touch your life, that God will bring peace in your heart. May the Lord be with you, and may you have a wonderful week. We will meet some of you on Friday as we have a service focusing on what Jesus did for us on the cross. The blood of Jesus is still as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. May the Lord bless you and be with you. Amen. Thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.